Welcome to Michigan Sunrise Sign. Today, I'm Kevin Allen, and joining us from the Osceola Valley Audubon, Peggy Ridgway. Peggy, how are you today?
I am doing just fine, thank you, Kevin.
Glad to have you on to give us a review for the Great Backyard Bird Count, and now it's done, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
This was the 22nd annual one, and a few years ago, with technology, it allowed them to go worldwide on this event. Researchers are really getting a good view of where the birds are at this time of the year, and a lot of people wonder, why do you do this in February?
Right.
The birds are more concentrated on their wintering grounds at this time of year, and then the hormones kick in. It's like releasing all the teenagers in the air at once.
Gotcha.
And it's not the weather that drives them. It's the hormones that kick in, and they try to get to breeding grounds. They'll be taking off, actually, this month, a lot of them, from where they've been in the winter. So researchers are able to get a quick snapshot of where the bird numbers are, and just prior to this massive spring migration. And for some of those birds, it takes them 2 months to get here. For instance, our Baltimore Orioles, they're down in South America right now. So it's taking them a long time to get here. And when we see them, they've come a long way. It's been a tough winter for us here in our region. And snow covered a lot of their natural ground sources and feeding sources January and February. So many of the birds dependent on the feeders that people put out.
Yeah.
And so the volunteers that did this count were very important to researchers. A lot of the feeders help keep up their energy and their heat sources during the cold, cold temperatures. When talking to people, I found a lot of people said the suet feeders, they had to keep replenishing those. And one of the reasons for that was that the frigid temperatures, that is a quick protein source for the birds. And so they will eat that, and it helps keep up their inner heat sources.
Gotcha.
So a lot of them visited the suet feeders and kept them alive and alert during those frigid nights.
So now the harsh winter that we've had so far, what did that do to the bird count? What did we see? What kind of changes compared to years past then?
Okay, well, it's kind of interesting. Worldwide, they documented over 6,000 species of birds, and they've counted 31 million birds. So that helps researchers get an idea of what species are doing well and what species maybe are not doing well. And locally, Iosco County tallied 44 species. That's about 10 less than we saw last year. It was kind of interesting because cedar waxwings, a lot of people in the Tawas and Oscoda area reported seeing cedar waxwings, and what they were doing was feeding on the berry trees in some of the areas around town. One person saw 150 at one time, which is kind of phenomenal. American goldfinches seem to be doing very well. That was among the second highest count in Iosco County. And another interesting thing was during those frigid temperatures, a lot of our river corridors froze, but then we had a thawing period.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people saw ducks in large numbers along the rivers. And in Tawas, the Tawas River was open. In Oscoda, the Sabo River was open from Foot Dam down. And so common mergansers, long-tailed ducks, I saw the most long-tailed ducks I've ever seen at the mouth of the Sabo River. There were about 30 of them.
Wow.
But one person reported 100.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, so the long-tailed ducks, the common golden eyes, common mergansers, some mallards. Mallard populations seem to be a little bit lower this year in our area. The one thing that I was kind of disappointed in was the trumpeter swans. They are usually seen in great numbers of 100 or more at Westgate and Iargo Springs, but both those areas, unfortunately, were pretty well frozen over. So I was looking at the maps of Michigan and found that a lot of our trumpeter swans migrated south below Flint, the Flint area down in the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area, a lot of them were seen. It's kind of interesting because trumpeters need water that's no deeper than 3 feet to feed because they don't dive under to feed, but they just stretch their 3 foot necks. That was kind of disappointing to me, but a couple of the rarities were one robin, whereas in the summer we'll see hundreds of them.
Right.
One Carolina wren was spotted at the villages of Oscoda, and two pine grosbeaks.
Well, we went through the numbers quick. Is there a place that people can go to if they're interested in seeing the numbers and the varieties that were found worldwide?
If they go to birdcount.org, and at the top there's a little section of green boxes, and if they say explore results, they can click on that, and it'll give them, and then they can just put in Iosco County or whatever county they want to look at. And it's I spend hours going over those that data.
I'll bet you have. From the Osceola Valley Audubon, Peggy Ridgway. Peggy, always a pleasure, and I'll look forward to talking to you again when we have our next big event.
Thanks so much, Kevin.